Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Working towards a nighttime train whistle ban was considered but ultimately turned down by City Council this week. The motion specifically asked that Council consider taking the next steps for nighttime whistle cessation along the main CN rail corridor. That would require that city staff undertake a more detailed study of the rail corridor to provide an updated scope of work and cost estimate for capital and ongoing operating funds required to implement the ban. This would impact the area from Coronation Boulevard to John Counter Boulevard. Councillor Lisa Osanek, who spearheaded this motion, spoke to the importance of moving forward with this initiative, due to both the severity and widespread nature of the issue, especially for residents in the West End who are impacted by multiple crossings.
It is really important. Even in the 2024 election, I had some homes that slammed the door on my face because we hadn't been able to implement the nighttime train whistle ban. It is important for quality of life, and for some people who are light sleepers, they need a good night's sleep. They can't get to sleep. They can't stay asleep with the train whistles that go on at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. We also have a lot of trains. I think there's like 80 freight trains that go through, it's the main line, right? 80 trains that go through our tracks each day, and this will at least stop the whistling for some of those trains.
Many other major cities have put a similar ban in place, including Oshawa, Markham, Belleville, Brockville, and Coburg. Councillor Jeff McLaren echoed these sentiments and also added possible environmental concerns to the list of reasons to move forward with the ban.
As Councillor Osanek had said, this is a bit of a quality of life issue. There are people who get woken up unnecessarily so in the middle of the night along that route, and they have to go to work the next day. Quite often, perhaps not as rested as they should have been. And when you go to work not quite as rested, as I'm sure anybody who's had children here knows, you might be a little bit more ticked off with your colleagues when you shouldn't have to be. And this is not something we want to encourage in our city. So if we can actually make the quality of life of thousands of our residents, it seems worthwhile. I would also add that noise of this kind, these train whistles, is pretty disruptive for the wildlife in the area. I know I walk along that area, that green space near the train station, and there's a nice creek there. And the bullfrogs, they do stop making noises during the train whistling parts. It stops, you can hear it going, and they do the whistle, it stops for a while, and then it starts up again after the whistle. It is disruptive even to nature, so if you do have any care for the environment, it's probably better that we don't have this kind of noise pollution.
Multiple councillors also consider this an opportunity to improve the safety of the railway at the same time, with the studies being conducted also providing information on the safety level of the railway and how it can be improved.
This extends beyond simply the annoyance of whistles. I think this extends into us having a better look at the safety of the railway system as it runs through Kingston. And as we continue to see an increase in population and we continue to see people traversing these areas, we know that there have been people who have been struck by trains. We've seen concerns about derailment. So I would like to see this also encompass some of those elements, because I think that's useful information for us as a city as we progress.
This ban was last considered back in 2014, and Transport Canada told the city that they would have to fence off the tracks, a costly project that council decided not to pursue. While Councillor Osanek cited specific instances of residents expressing concerns, staff reported that there have only been 15 recorded complaints to the city. However, as argued by councillors in support of the motion, this does not account for complaints directly to the transport companies, informal complaints, or reasons why residents would not take the time to submit a formal complaint.
With regards to the only 15 complaints, I suspect that after 2014, a lot of people gave up complaining and simply lived with it. So I think just a number off the top of our heads isn't data, it's just general information that we have.
Councillor Brandon Tozzo raised concerns regarding the cost of both the studies and next steps of this ban, with the studies costing $200,000 and the next steps costing up to $3.9 million upfront.
I can't sleep at night and go back to my constituents saying we spent $4.1 million on 15 recorded complaints that we've had over 6 years. We'd be further ahead giving each constituent who complained $100,000 to ignore the whistles. So unfortunately, the math just doesn't work out for me as far as the data evidence. If this was a widespread, we got 100 complaints a year. Yes, fine. This is a citywide issue. I'm sympathetic. This doesn't go through my district, but if there was hundreds of complaints and we could have data there, but we have to do data-led policymaking. There isn't for me the evidence there to support the cost here.
Councillor Wendy Steven echoed this concern, also adding safety concerns into the mix.
I can certainly appreciate quality of life. We know when you don't get a good sleep, how terrible we feel. I have to echo Councillor Tozzo here in that I don't have the data. I haven't had any complaints from residents. I have had no supporting correspondence on this report we have in front of us. In fact, I've had two people reach out to me to say specifically that this doesn't bother them. So for me, without the data, and also I have to say, I did an interview the other day and we met at the Collins Bay train track. And two VIA trains came by during that time, and wow, were they fast. Like, terrifyingly fast, and you would not know they were coming if it weren't for the whistle. You can't see.
Councillor Jimmy Hassan also shared his perspective as someone who lives in one of the impacted regions.
I believe every citizen who bought the house by the train, railway track, they was aware of it, and they choose to do that. As a citizen, my heart goes to them. It's my constituency. And I like to support my people and give them good night's sleep. But also, I urge all those people who complain to think about what you're complaining about. You bought the house knowing it. It's not the CN Rail was built after you bought the house. It was there already. It's not fair with other taxpayers to take their money and put it somewhere which is not emergency, it's not life-threatening.
Mayor Brian Patterson finished the discussion by summarizing his thoughts on the motion.
Empathetic to those that have complained, but I think if we just look at the scale of what would be involved in addressing it, I think we have to keep perspective.
At the end of the meeting, it was decided that the city would not take the next steps required to work towards a nighttime train whistle ban, the option being struck down with a vote of 8-5. The City of Kingston has shared an update on behalf of PSPC on the LaSalle Causeway closure. PSPC has been working closely with Presley Demolition Incorporated, which has engaged specialized teams that have been working 12-hour shifts daily to expedite the Bascule Bridge demolition. As a result, the demolition and removal of the bridge structure has been progressing ahead of schedule. They can now confirm that the LaSalle Causeway is fully open for marine navigation. PSPC continues to develop a plan in partnership with the City of Kingston to reinstate access for vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians using a temporary bridge solution. At the same time, they've also started preliminary work regarding a permanent replacement bridge. More information will be shared as it becomes available. PSPC encourages users to consult their public notices and social media channels for updates. In a message from the City of Kingston, this Canada Day, come together to celebrate summer and beat the heat at the coolest party in Kingston. Canada Day will take place in Confederation Park, 209 Ontario Street this year. The festivities will start at 11 a.m. with the Parade of People presented by Downtown Kingston and ends at an amazing fireworks display at 10 p.m. with loads of activities in between. Three-time Scribble Jam champion and world-renowned DJ Scratch Bastid will bring the party to Springer Market Square at 8 p.m. Make sure to catch DJ Tedwin at 7 p.m. and Ayanda the DJ at 6 p.m. on the main stage. Chill out in the Caesar & Co. Beer Garden, all ages welcome, government-issued photo ID required to purchase alcoholic beverages. And grab a bite from some of the city's best food vendors. Magicians, a rock climbing wall, kids zone, live music, and so much more are waiting for you this Canada Day. For complete details, visit cityofkingston.ca under Canada Day, including parking or transit info. Funding for this event is provided by the Government of Ontario. Downtown Kingston programming is supported by the Department of Canadian Heritage. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Lauren Tucker with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks so much, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for the week. Running now until July 4th at the Isabel Bader Center, the National Youth Orchestra of Canada's Chamber Fest will be presented, featuring free afternoon and evening concerts from young musicians and renowned faculty. Performances will be as unique as they are varied, and for more information on showtimes and repertoire, you can visit queensu.ca/theisabel. Tickets for this year's Theatre Kingston Fringe Festival went on sale on June 20th, and the full lineup has now been announced. This year's festival runs 11 days from August 1st to 11th across three venues and includes 18 shows. Single show tickets and dash passes are now available at kingstongrand.ca, and to learn more about Fringe and all the uncensored, uncurated, and unboring shows hitting the festival this year, you can visit theatrekingston.com. Also in theater news on Friday, July 5th and Saturday, July 6th, Domino Theater presents the Come Play by the Lake one-act festival at the Domino Theater at 52 Church Street, featuring the plays Left Alone by J. Wes Secord, A Kiss to Build a Dream On by Penny Barker, The Evolution of Morals, Principles, and Values by Harry Jordan, and Dress Rehearsal by Morgan Wade. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for students and available through the Kingston Grand box office at kingstongrand.ca or at 613-530-2050. Also coming up in festivals, running from June 29th to July 1st, is ArtFest Kingston from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily in City Park. This festival features over 150 vendors, art, live music, poetry, food, and more for the whole family, and admission is free. Visit artfestkingston.ca for more information. And from July 8th to 13th, the Ground Up Dance Festival, Kingston's only professional dance festival, returns for its third year, featuring Unmoored by Order of Canada recipient Peggy Baker, as well as six dance pieces by local artists, classes, and an opening night party at Musiki Cafe, featuring a panel about local collaborative dance. Admission to class and performances varies, and some pay-what-you-can options are available, and you can visit groundupdancefestival.ca for more information. Registration for summer term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops and summer camps. Coming up in July is adult programs like Exploring Realism with Charcoal, Realism in Oil, Shading 101, Intro to Printmaking, Intermediate Print Space, Intro to Sculpture, and Paper Mache Sculpture, as well as youth programs like Drawing Fundamentals and Intro to Sculpture. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. And every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square on Thursdays this summer, and the full lineup has now been announced. This summer, you can mark your calendars for 10 Things I Hate About You on June 27th, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning on July 11th, Barbie on July 18th, The Italian Job on July 25th, A League of Their Own on August 1st, Beetlejuice on August 8th, Freaky Friday on August 15th, Night at the Museum Battle of the Smithsonian on August 22nd, and Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. And this week at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special screenings Midsommar, The Director's Cut on June 27th, Dazed and Confused on June 28th and 30th, and a double feature of X and Pearl on June 29th and July 1st, ahead of the premiere of Maxine. There's also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for more cinema adventures. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk today, so I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, June 24th, 2024. One of the most hotly anticipated NHL games of all time is scheduled to be played at 8 p.m. this evening, as the Edmonton Oilers look to complete an unprecedented 3-0 series come-from-behind victory over the Florida Panthers in Sunrise, Florida. The series began disastrously for the Oilers, who dropped the first two games by a score of 3-0 and 4-1. Game 3 proved to be a much closer contest, but the Oilers once again fell short by a score of 4-3. With their season on the line at home in Edmonton, they roared back with an 8-1 win, followed that up with a all-time classic 5-3 victory, and then their last game they beat Florida by a score of 5-1. This has led us to tonight, a decisive Game 7. If the Oilers can do the improbable and complete this seven-game comeback, they will be just the fourth team in NHL history to overcome a 3-0 deficit to win a series. They would be only the second team to ever do it in the Stanley Cup Finals. The last Stanley Cup Final winning team to overcome a 3-0 deficit was actually the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Detroit Red Wings in 1942. In non-Stanley Cup Final settings, it's only been accomplished 3 times. The New York Islanders came back against the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1975. The Philadelphia Flyers very famously came back against the Boston Bruins in 2010. And most recently, the Los Angeles Kings defeated the San Jose Sharks, completing their 7-game comeback in 2014. For the Panthers, a win tonight would grant them their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. The last time they made the Stanley Cup Finals was 1996, where they lost to the newly relocated Colorado Avalanche in 5 games. Connor McDavid will likely be taking home the Conn Smythe Trophy regardless of tonight's result. He has tallied 42 points in the playoffs thus far, sitting just 5 points back of Wayne Gretzky's all-time mark for a single postseason of 47. Although it is unlikely that McDavid will tie or break the mark, given his incredible production throughout the playoffs, it is not as wild a possibility as it would be for almost any other player. And that is your preview for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, a hotly anticipated contest between two teams with very different philosophies. Will it be the more complete from top to bottom Florida Panthers that stem this historic comeback and take home their first title? Or will the Oilers do the unthinkable and break that 30-plus year Canadian drought in the most spectacular fashion possible? Only one way to find out, and that's to check out the game tonight at 8 p.m. This concludes your sports report for Monday, June 24th, 2022. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting clear skies with winds being 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 and becoming light this evening. We have a low of 15 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Tuesday, June 25th, we're expecting sunny skies in the morning and early afternoon, then a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon. We have a risk of thunderstorm in the afternoon. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour, we have a high of 25 degrees, humidex 30, and a UV index of 9 or very high. Tuesday night, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 19. Finally, on Wednesday, June 26th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 24, and Wednesday night, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 13. That wraps up your weather report for this evening, and next is your CFRC traffic report. Now it's time for your weekly CFRC traffic report for the week of June 21st to 27th. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for, Albert Street Princess to 486 Albert is closed until December 31st. Baden Street Moat to McDonald is closed until July 1st to accommodate construction activity on Baden Street. Cataract Way Woods Drive, Sydenham to Centennial is closed June 24th to 25th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed until September 1st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plastarms to north end of King is closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Finally, University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed until July 31st for the removal of debris from the Queen's J-Duck project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. The work is planned to conclude in December of 2024. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Gardiner's Road at Centennial and Creekfort expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Hudson Drive at Bay Ridge Public School expect delays until June 28th. Hudson Drive at Hudson Park also expect delays until June 28th. Highway 2 Abbey-Don to St. Lawrence expect a lane closure to complete enhanced flood protection. The lane closure will be controlled by a temporary traffic signal. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Pine Grove Road, Highway 15 to Boundary, expect delays June 24th to 28th as a contractor will be completing surface treatment. Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham expect a westbound lane closure today to accommodate construction activity. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. Seabrook Road, Highway 15 to Big Hill, expect delays June 24th to 28th as the contractor will be completing surface treatment. That wraps up your traffic report for this evening, and next up is your events and concerts calendar with Paige.
It's time for CFRC's concert and events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through cfrc.ca today. On Monday, June 24th, swing by the club at the RCHA for classic jazz. For just $5, enjoy Inner Harbor Trio from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Also on Monday, celebrate Pride Month at the Pump House from 6 to 9 p.m. for a Pride Beading Workshop. Materials are provided and to join costs $10. On Tuesday, June 25th, don't be a joker and go see rock and roll legends Steve Miller Band and April Wine. They're coming to Slush Puppy Place this Tuesday. Check out the Slush Puppy Place website for ticket prices. The show starts at 8 p.m. Go to Musicky Cafe and Whiskey Bar this Tuesday night for open mic night from 7 to 11 p.m. The event is free. On Wednesday, June 26th, from 7 to 8 p.m., walk to Springer Market Square for a throwback to the jazzy tunes of yesteryear with Craig Jones and the 20th Century Jazz Band. The event is free. This Wednesday, join a candlelit memorial at Trellis HIV and Community Care, honoring and remembering those we have lost to HIV and the drug poisoning crisis. Opportunities to share and remember are available. All are welcome. On Thursday, June 27th, Canadian blues band River City Junction is starting your night at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for $10. Stay to watch jazz trio Spencer Evans Trio from 8 to 10 p.m. Swing by Hotel Wolf Island this Thursday for Toronto-based indie band Moon River. Show starts at 7 p.m. and admission is $15. Dap Brewery is hosting Drag Bingo from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m., hosted by local drag legend Rowena Way. No tickets, just show up and play. Don't forget your stamper. This event is 19+. On Friday, June 28th, at The Mansion, see Halifax-based indie band Steel Cut Oats and Sleepy Kicks with guests Sadie McFadden and Mobius Trip. Cover is $15 at the door, and the show runs from 9 to 11:30 p.m. On this Friday, swing by The Merchant for Lakota's EP release show with the guests The Astros. The show starts at 9:30 p.m. and admission is $20. Walk down to Springer Market Square for 7 p.m. to watch Kitkinet Country, a concert with Clem Chesterfield and the Lazy Boy Recliners. The event is free, just enjoy the live music in the square. Also on Friday, experience the annual charity event Canna Doom 2 at Overtime Sports Bar for a night of heavy metal from Purveyor of Chaos, Sweet Machete, Don't Tell Sarah, and more. The show runs from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. and ticket prices range from $25 to $30. On Saturday, June 29th, join Blue Martini for a night of girl power rock and roll with Mobius Trip, The Sugar Pills, and Say It Back. Tickets are $15 and the door opens at 8:30 p.m. Walk down to Confederation Park for Saturday sessions with Dave Barton Trio, Irish Roots, and Celtic Kitchen Party. Enjoy free live music in the park from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Enjoy the triple threat showcase of Cody Allen James and Good Co., Dennis Bowman and the Wild Roses, and the Holy Gamblers at Hotel Wolf Island. The show starts at 7 p.m. and cover is to be determined. For just $5, bring your dancing shoes for Soca and Afrobeats with DJ Smooth Mix at La Vida Bistro and Social. The event runs from 9 to 11:55 p.m. On Sunday, June 30th, enjoy a Latin-inspired twist to your Sunday on the patio with Mauricio Montesinos at the Creekside Bar and Grill from 5 to 7 p.m. Come down to Finkel Shore Park for free live music this Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. From 2 to 5, singer-songwriter Gerald McGrath is at Spearhead Brewery. The event is free. Have any songs you want to try out? Come to The Buckle. They are hosting their first Sunday open mic from 7 to 10 p.m. The event is free to attend. Dust off your shoulder pads or acid wash denim and go to the Cove Inn this Sunday for pre-Canada Day party 80s Enough. This 80s themed party runs from 7 to 11 p.m. and the event is $85 to attend, including dinner, show, and donation to Westport Lions Club Beach. That's all for live music and events this week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.